This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones. I walk along
the avenue. Julian Assange speaking about powerful forces that have threatened his family during an interview with Sean Hannity yesterday. This is what RT is reporting today. WikiLeaks offers $20,000 reward to prevent Obama government destroying U.S. history. WikiLeaks is offering a $20,000 reward for information relating to any destruction of records by a member of the Obama administration. However, it has not made any specific allegations that the administration inappropriately eradicated material. So again, they're asking for information leading to the arrest or exposure of any Obama admin agent destroying significant records. WikiLeaks is not done with revelations as it pertains to the Obama administration, if this story is anything to go by. And it's unsurprising that he's making enemies, again, while the mainstream media remains transfixed with the biggest conspiracy theory in years that Russia hacked the US presidential election, for which there's no evidence. Remember, they had the poll, it was a couple of weeks ago now. They asked Hillary Clinton supporters if they believed these claims, not only that Russia influenced the US presidential election, but that Russia directly hacked the voting machines. 50% of respondents, 50% of Hillary Clinton supporters thought that Russia had actually hacked the voting machines. That's how fundamentally misled they were. Let's go to the third Assange clip. This is Assange talking about media collusion. Here's the clip.
That was bogus. But there's another side of this which is, I think, pretty fascinating. That is that Hillary Rodham Clinton had a private server at a mom-and-pop shop in a bathroom closet that I would argue, and other lawyers would make arguments that it was illegal for her to have. From what we understand, the Podesta emails were hacked through a phishing scheme where it said, click on this, give us your information, and he did so.
Well, there's a number of hacks to the DNC and Podesta based on the publicly available information. This is not something coming from our sources. We published, as part of our policy of full disclosure, not interfering with the material, we published several Podesta emails, which shows Podesta responding to a phishing email. Now, how did they respond? Podesta gave out that his password was the word password. His own staff said, this email that you've received, this is totally legitimate. So this is something a 14-year-old kid could have hacked
based on that.
So again, the media has this whole narrative about these sophisticated, dark Russian actors hacking with expert knowledge the US presidential election. It was literally John Podesta. They sent him a fake email pretending to be a company, an email service provider that he's affiliated with, telling him that he needed to change his password, asking him for his password. His password was the word password. These are the people who are about to be in charge of the US government, and his password for his email account is password. Not only that, he then asked other members of the Clinton campaign if this was a legitimate email, if he should respond to this or if this posed a threat. And they all said, no, this is perfectly legitimate. You can respond to this. That's how they got his password. It wasn't Russian hackers. It could have been anyone. There was no need to hack. He gave them his password, which was password. Again, that is a detail rarely brought up by the media while they hysterically obsess about fake news stories about Russian hackers hacking the electronic grid. That just aren't true. Complete nonsense. Again, this whole Russian hacking narrative has taken the focus away from the fact that the information in the Podesta emails in the DNC leaks was accurate information relevant to the American voter right before the election. That's what they don't tell you. We'll be back on the Alex Jones Show. Stay tuned.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. KD Armor raised the standard. Finally, AR-500 steel core body armor that comfortably conforms to the chest and torso. Unique design distributes weight, feeling lighter, increases mobility, and lessens fatigue. Introducing the Combat Quad Bend CQB, a revolutionary plate forming process that caters to the end user. The CQB is an industry game changer, a must-have for the ladies. Available now, only at katiearmor.com, CATIarmor.com. Come and take it.
Hey, this is V, the Grill Economist of Rogue Money. Are you being crushed by debt and crippled by bad credit? Here's what the banks don't want you to know. If you're in severe credit card debt, you have options. We can give you a fresh start. Have tax liens and judgments against you? We can give you a fresh start. Want to find out if our system can work for you? Go to myfreedomnow.us and set up a free phone consultation with me today. We take a limited number of clients each month, so go to myfreedomnow.us.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
We're live in the second hour of this January 4th edition of the Alex Jones Show. I'm Paul Joseph Watson in for Alex Jones, who will be back later on in the show with some more rants. But for the moment, we're going to go to our guest. He is Jason Kessler, journalist and author. The website is jasonkessler.net. And he's been in the news recently, probably didn't see this. This didn't make many national headlines, but it was a big story locally, for reasons that we're going to dive into right now. Jason, welcome to the show. Yeah, I don't have Jason's audio there, if you can fix that. All right, let's get straight to it then, Jason. Break it down for us. Who is Wes Bellamy? What did he say? You know, take it from the beginning. And how did it lead you to spearheading this movement against him?
Okay, so basically, I usually don't pay very much attention to local politics. I like national politics and big issues. But there's this vice mayor of Charlottesville, where I live, who is just totally obnoxious, Black Lives Matter racist. Everything he does is race, race, race. He never is working on fixing roads or water purity, anything like that. What he does is he's trying to spend $700,000 to move this Robert E. Lee Confederate statue from the park downtown. He has also been in the news for boycotting a UVA lecturer named Doug Muir, who put a Facebook post where he said Black Lives Matter is racist. And this guy went crazy, and he boycotted the guy's restaurant and so forth. So I thought, well, let me look into Wes Bellamy's social media and see what he has to say. And I went onto his Twitter, and I searched some keywords. I searched white. I searched black. He had so many nasty things to say. Like, he said white women are the devil. He said he hates black people who talk white. He said, my favorite thing about being down south is seeing the look on the faces of little white men when they have to look up to a black man. He also said, it ain't rape if she left city councilors being so against Trump for things he said which were not nearly as bad. They won't even condemn what he said, and the media is trying to cover it up.
So you discovered these tweets, and again, we showed some of them there in the article. We're putting them up on screen now. Absolutely vile, vulgar tweets. This guy is a vice mayor. You draw attention to this. I guess the media picks it up. Tell us what happened between that moment and then when you got to the meeting, which was in the headlines a few weeks ago.
Well, here's an interesting tidbit that the local media and even the national media did not cover. This guy went to the White House the very day after this story broke. I broke this story on Thanksgiving. The day after Thanksgiving, he was at the White House. No one knows why he was there, but this is sort of one of these chosen ones of Barack Obama and Black Lives Matter, and they had a powwow to try and see how they were going to deal with it. Thankfully, the Virginia legislator is Republican controlled, so they put some pressure on the legislator. This guy was actually one of nine people hand selected to be on the Virginia Board of Education. This guy is a black supremacist. He hates white people. He's down with this George Ciccariello's decolonization theories, and he was one of only nine people deciding what goes in textbooks for the entire state of Virginia. So we got him to step down from there. Then all these people came forward trying to look at what I had written. Obviously, they were going to do that. I don't have anything where I'm using slurs against people or whatever, but I have talked about, I like going on 4chan. You know, I've talked about the alt-right before the alt-right was basically shanghaied by this whole Atlantic and Richard Spencer thing. So they started calling me, oh, you're a alt-right racist Nazi. They went crazy, and there was basically a mob for me at the next city council meeting when I came to speak.
So this guy put out these tweets. The controversy was about him. He should be the one at least apologizing. Other people should be disavowing him. And yet the exact opposite happened. All the BLM activists, which you would expect, rallied around him. Again, you said the mob turned out in hatred against you. And then at this meeting, didn't these councillors support him by at first claiming that his account had been hacked and these tweets weren't even real?
Yeah, they did that. They put out false statements. I mean, these city councilors are so far left-wing. And I'm telling you, there is a cabal of very powerful left-wing people here in Charlottesville that are connected to the national DNC. And they are putting forward a lot of things like the UVA rape hoax happened here. Somebody was telling Sabrina Erderly, come here. You can do your fake rape story here. Kazir Khan lives here. And somebody is pushing these people to the national media. So you have some very powerful, connected people who are very upset about losing the election, losing to Trump in a big way. And they doubled down. They said, we're not even going to condemn what he said. Only the mayor said something slightly off about that. And I can tell you, we need to make this a national issue. We need to make sure that any of these people that are supporting this kind of anti-white racism, that we cannot allow these double standards to happen. These people should not have careers anymore if they are going to stand behind somebody like this.
And it's this whole double standard. If you had a conservative vice mayor, a councillor, or anyone who had gone on Twitter, who had spouted racism, you know, said he hated black people, talked about raping women, I mean, you can say, oh, it was just a joke, but then you've got to have the same standard for both sides of the equation. If the shoe was on the other foot, that guy would have been fired, would have resigned within hours of that controversy breaking out, because it would have been picked up by the mainstream media nationally. So what happened at the council meeting, basically, as far as I understand it, he was forced to give some kind of meek apology, and that was basically it, correct?
Yeah, he gave a meek apology, and he didn't, and they just ignored the thing, and they tried to go on with business as usual. And let me talk to you a little bit about your point, which is a good point. If even one of those tweets had been said by a white person, for instance, he said, white women are the devil. That one's one of the more mild tweets. If a white person had said, black women are the devil, he would be gone. He would be finished everywhere. Immediately. And that is why this struggle is so important, and why this is not just a local thing to do with, you know, this vice mayor who has visited the White House and so forth. This is about changing attitudes and changing perceptions, because I'm fighting against the media that does not want to talk about racism against white people, but I am forcing the issue. He will not step down. These people are trying to keep it so that he does not step down. But there is a legal process through which you get a certain number of signatures, and there is a recall. And I am in touch with some national people, and I want to make this a big story. If these people think it's acceptable for this guy to stay after he has said the hateful things he's had to say about white people, no. And I'm going to make a national example out of him.
And it goes back to anyone invoking supporting Black Lives Matter who is in a position of government. You have to ask serious questions about them. This is an organization that was literally their ideological inspiration, Assata Shakur, the ideological inspiration of Black Lives Matter, the name who they shout at every single rally. She is a convicted cop killer in exile on the FBI's most wanted domestic terrorist list. That is the ideological guru of Black Lives Matter. They chant for dead cops routinely. We've played the videos. We saw what happened in Dallas. We saw what happened in Baton Rouge. This is, at the least, a domestic extremist organization, if not a domestic terrorist organization. This is an even more virulent form of the Weathermen. They've encouraged, they've inspired violence. We've had dead cops. Dead cops, both black and white, because of this rhetoric. So, again, it's absolutely unconscionable that Obama has allied himself directly with this movement, that even to the point now it's so ingrained in the culture, they've got their own emoji on Twitter, for God's sake. Imagine if a white supremacist group whose ideological inspiration was Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, was this active. Would they get support from the establishment, from the mainstream media?
Absolutely not. And I think that we have a golden opportunity here with this Wes Bellamy guy, because he was dumb enough to say what he actually thought on Twitter. And don't kid yourself, all these Black Lives Matter people, they hate white people, they are a supremacist ideology, they are people who are very violent and cause riots and so forth. So what we have here is an opportunity where one of them has revealed himself. This is a powerful guy. He's got organizations that he started, like 100 Black Men, you know, it's a racial solidarity group, and this is something that he's exploited his entire career, is this sort of black supremacist ideology. So I think that what we want to do is we want to make Wes Bellamy the poster boy for Black Lives Matter and show them. And you have on the screen right now a tweet that he made about Thomas Jefferson. He's not only trying to take down the statue of Robert E. Lee. This guy and his Black Lives Matter cohorts want to go after all of our history. They want to destroy the history of Western civilization. Charlottesville, Virginia is basically known as the home of Thomas Jefferson. His Monticello is here. He started UVA. This is a guy who is responsible for the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. This is where all of our human rights in this country and freedoms come from. And what they want to do is reduce people like Thomas Jefferson to villains, as caricatures of the evil slave master. And he has a tweet where he's saying Thomas Jefferson is next. And don't kid yourself, that's what all of these people want to do. They want to get onto the Virginia Board of Education, and they want to push this stuff. White people are the only ones who are racist, and look at colonialism and white people and slavery. And they try and portray it in a very false way, as if we are the only ones who had slaves. We are the ones who ended slavery.
And we're going to get more into that after the break with Jason Kessler of jasonkessler.net. Going to go on to talk about how basically they've made anti-white racism trendy in the culture, and if that is about to be overturned. We'll be back live on the Alex Jones Show. Don't go away.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com. And use promo code RADIO to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
Hey, this is V, the Grill Economist of Rogue Money. Are you being crushed by debt and crippled by bad credit? Here's what the banks don't want you to know. If you're in severe credit card debt, you have options. We can give you a fresh start. Have tax liens and judgments against you? We can give you a fresh start. Want to find out if our system can work for you? Go to myfreedomnow.us and set up a free phone consultation with me today. We take a limited number of clients each month, so go to myfreedomnow.us.
Katie Armour raised the standard. Finally, AR-500 steel core body armor that comfortably conforms to the chest and torso. Unique design distributes weight, feeling lighter, increases mobility, and lessens fatigue. Introducing the Combat Quad Bend CQB, a revolutionary plate forming process that caters to the end user. The CQB is an industry game changer, a must-have for the ladies. Available now, only at katiearmour.com, C-A-T-I-armour.com. Come and take it. Reality check. Rampant hacking. Identity theft. Mass surveillance. Defending yourself today is not an option. It's a requirement. Introducing the Conceal Shield Travel Pack from DefenderShield.com. Conceal Shield is cutting-edge wireless blocking technology that eliminates all signals, including EMF, GPS, and RFID. Place cell phones, credit cards, IDs, and other trackable items into the Conceal Shield, and they become totally invisible. Get Conceal Shield now at DefenderShield.com. Use promo code CONCEAL for 10% off. Guard your privacy, secure your data, and protect your health with Conceal Shield.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
In a crisis, your number one need is food, but not just any food. Experts say everyone needs to have non-perishable, good for 25 years, survival food on hand in case of an emergency. Well, right now, in what is truly an unprecedented move, 72-hour survival food kits are being given away to listeners while supplies last. Survival food is more important today than ever before, explains Frank Bates, a spokesman for the company. Natural disasters, terrorist attacks, and other threats can make obtaining sufficient food impossible in an emergency. This 72-hour survival kit has 16 servings of delicious food rated for 25 years of storage. It sells to the general public for $27 plus shipping, and it's been rated 4.5 out of 5 stars by customers who paid full price. But listeners who act quickly can get it free, just cover $9.95 shipping. Go to freefood2.com right now. Supplies are limited, and the program may end at any time. Go to freefood2.com now. That's freefood2.com.
Thank you.
on the Alex Jones Show, a lot of Truckee Chief Jason Kessler, who is spearheading a movement to unseat Wes Bellamy, the vice mayor there in Charlottesville. Again, this extraordinary double standard on the left. Whenever a conservative, whether in government or not, even if it's somebody in entertainment or whatever sphere, tweets something mildly offensive, the outrage mob is sicked upon them instantly. They must instantly back down and apologize. And even then, in fact, what you see mostly is when they apologize, it only gets worse. Then they smell blood and seek even greater consequences. But on the left, again, these councillors rallied around this guy, despite these absolutely vulgar tweets about women, about white people, flagrantly racist, actually sexist tweets. What did his fellow leftist colleagues do? They rallied around him. They tried to claim that his account had been hacked. They had to back away from that ridiculous excuse. And still, they support him. Jason, we're going to talk about the Drexel professor in a minute, but wasn't there one of the councillors at this meeting who even tried to suggest that you were making a death threat against Bellamy because you said your days are numbered in a political sense?
Yeah, so I have this petition, and he's going to get out of office. This is the tide of history, and the tide of history has so far been to allow this racism against white people and to allow this double standard. I'm swimming upstream, but I'm going to get to the end point, which is to take this guy to court and to have a trial to say this guy has said things that are discriminatory against white people. He is unacceptable. And he's also shown a pattern of discriminatory behavior in the way that he's tried to attack this Confederate statue of Robert E. Lee, which is of ethnic significance to Southern white people. He has attacked this UVA lecturer, Doug Muir. And I'd like to just bring up Doug Muir again for a second. When you talk about this double standard, what Doug Muir said, and I think you guys have an image of that tweet as well, he was joking with somebody. He is a conservative guy who happens to work at UVA, and he was having a banter with a guy who was saying, oh, I'm not going to go to the Trump winery because Trump is like Hitler. So this guy said, well, Black Lives Matter is racist. They're the worst since the Klan. You know, kind of using a little bit of hyperbole there, even though I agree with the premise that Black Lives Matter is racist. And this story made international headlines. He had to take a leave from his job. He received death threats. His children and his wife received death threats. He was forced to apologize to keep his job. It was reported as far as the Daily Mail in the UK. And what happened was this Wes Bellamy guy called for a boycott on his restaurant just for a political opinion about Black Lives Matter. And so when this guy is revealed for much worse things. Doug Muir was voicing a political opinion, which always has to be protected speech. It's totally acceptable to criticize Black Lives Matter. But when you have a public leader who is saying, I hate seeing white people around town, I don't listen to white people at community meetings, white women are the devil, white women smell like assault charges and deli meat. This is a guy who's just said things that are too discriminatory and a bias that shows he should not have power over other people.
Now let's move on to this other story, which is obviously connected. George Moore, this professor at Drexel, tweeted, all I want for Christmas is white genocide. Again, you can't have it both ways. If you want to get completely outraged and call for people to be fired on the right for making jokes, then the same standard has to apply for you. The university came out, you know, initially they said, this is, quote, utterly reprehensible, it doesn't represent our values. But then when he came back at them and claimed free speech, they backed off and issued this watered-down statement basically saying, oh, he was he was misunderstood. He's still in a job. I mean, Jason, what do you think would happen if a conservative professor had called for the mass genocide of black people? Would he still be in a job right now?
Of course they'd be fired right away. And that's not the kind of thing that should be permissible according to academic freedom. academic freedom should be given a wide leash, because obviously we need to have a free exchange of ideas, and free speech is a very sacred thing. But when you're talking about the mass genocide of a people and calling for that, that's over the line. I mean, what's the difference between this guy and bringing over, you know, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or somebody to talk about the benefits of jihad? And this guy had a history of making these tweets. He also said, abolish the white race. He said, the massacre of whites, where they were basically completely murdered and massacred in Haiti, was a good thing indeed. He said that whites are a pig majority. This is the kind of thing where somebody has... These are not just political opinions. These are hateful, racist biases. And he
okay, hold on. Thought Jason Kessler will be back after this break. Infowars.com.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves. Home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
My name is Robin. I'm 47 years of age. I absolutely love One World Whey. It was about 5 years ago when a trainer told me it was the end-all of protein powders. One day when I ran out, I decided to try other brands. I spent 8 months and could not find a replacement. I went through tons of brands, types, and flavors, and almost all of them tasted unnatural and not pleasant. When it all boiled down, I came right back to One World Whey. I buy the cost-effective 5-pound container, and my family craves their One World Whey too. I look forward to and enjoy having my One World Whey and feel great after I drink it. Thank you, Synergistic Nutrition, for perfecting a protein powder in the product One World Whey. From taste to how it makes me and my family feel, you get an A++.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network. We're living on the edge.
We're back live on the Alex Jones Show. It's Paul Joseph Watson in for Alex Jones. We're going to go back to our guest here in a moment. But first, I want to tell you about an exciting new product we have at Infowarsstore.com, exclusively available. It's tactical nanotechnology body armor. Again, the government's preparing, the government's buying riot gear, they're stockpiling food. But if you do it, you're a kook and you're a conspiracy theorist. Over the past year, Infowars has been working with some of the top special operators in the United States to source you the absolute highest quality and affordable body armor out there. Our team of former Blackwater operators and Army Rangers analyzed and tested hundreds of different body armor technologies for their stopping power and safety. And we teamed up with National Defense Laboratories to bring you an advanced nanotechnology body armor that until now was only available to the U.S. military and law enforcement. So this is cutting edge. It's an exciting new product. It is tactical nanotechnology body armor. Again, exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. The government's preparing by buying this kind of product. You know, we have people across Europe buying whatever they can get their hands on, pepper spray or whatever. This probably would be illegal over there because of the strife that's unfolding in countries such as Germany and Sweden. This is only sensible that you do the same by getting this exciting new product at InfoWarsStore.com. And of course, it supports this operation as we expand, as we fight the mainstream media on a higher, higher level every single day. We're going to go back to our guest, though, who is Jason Kessler. We're talking about anti-white racism, which has basically become the last acceptable form of racism in the West. We had this Wes Bellamy, this vice mayor, tweeting out all these vulgar tweets about hating white people, misogynistic rape jokes. Again, all the left rallies around him. You look at someone like Justine Sacco. This was a woman who made a tweet, which was a joke. And it was actually an homage to white privilege. It wasn't even a racist joke. She was absolutely crucified. She got on a plane, made a tweet. By the time she got off the plane, her entire career and life was destroyed. That's the difference. Now we have MTV, of course, coming out a couple of weeks ago with this Resolutions for White Guys, New Year's Resolutions for White Guys video. The backlash to that was absolutely intense, suggesting that people are finally getting sick to the back teeth of this fetishization, this trendiness of anti-white racism. They've made it acceptable up until now, Jason. This is emboldening both black and white supremacists. This is the effect it has. The people on both ends of the extreme are only further radicalized, further proven right, in a sense, by all this casual anti-white racism. What do you think is the actual agenda behind this? I mean, how do we deconstruct this fable they've created that it's impossible to be racist against white people, right? Because that's basically what they've framed it in. They've said, oh, white people have institutionalized power, even though to a greater extent they don't. And yet they're using the entire culture, setting it against white people and saying that white people have all the power, therefore it's acceptable to be racist against them. How do we deconstruct that fable?
I think we have to fight back against it. There's a tendency on the right that when people are racist towards white people, we just let it go. Because there's a certain amount of these limousine liberal white people who do not interact with minorities, really. They live in gated communities, and they only see minorities as a charity project. And they do have what you could call a privilege. And they think all white people are so privileged and whatever, so they let this slide. So there's a smaller number of people who do not have this kind of privilege that they're talking about, and they need to speak up. You have to make examples out of people like the Wes Bellamy's and the George Chikariello Mars of the world. You have to take them to court over things, and you have to make them feel the pain, because they have made our side feel the pain for things that are not even remotely worth doing that. And I'm not saying you should just go after anybody. Like what happened with Justine Sacco, she was making a joke, and you're right, she was making a joke about white people having some kind of special place in the world that they wouldn't get AIDS or whatever. And people didn't understand the joke, and they hounded her, and they got her out of there. So I'm saying, when we have a legitimate target, when we have somebody who is clearly very virulently racist against us, we have to demand that they are not going to be teaching our kids in school, and we have to demand that they are not going to be our politicians.
And again, the heart of it is this attempt by the establishment to force feed us diversity. I mean, one example that I came across the other day, oh, and by the way, back to your point about people living in white privilege bubbles, there was a video recently where they went out and asked white people You know, if black people should get all this help, all these subsidies with things like using the internet, using their cell phones, what that video exposed was the bigotry of low expectations. These white people thinking that they should surround themselves and, you know, bow down and worship white privilege actually made out that black people were completely stupid. They didn't know how to operate cell phones. They needed help with absolutely every little aspect of their lives. So it actually creates more racism. It creates that bigotry of low expectations where these leftists are so manipulated into white guilt that they're literally insulting towards black people by saying that they need help with absolutely everything. They need, you know, help operating their cell phones, connecting to the internet. I thought that was a good expose. But we've also got this attempt to force feed us diversity. I'll give you an example. The BBC in the United Kingdom, the television station, they have a station, Iden, which for the last 10 years or so has been, for example, 8 whales seen swimming in a circle. They always use a circle for the station Iden. So, you know, it's either 8 whales, it's 8 flags flying. Now they've decided that they're going to be culturally diverse. And, for example, it's going to be 8 people in a Zumba class in a town called Bristol in England. Now, the problem with that is, you know, Bristol, England is still, what, 85-90% white. You look at this station Iden, it's the 2 white people, you know, 2 black people, 2 Muslims. It's not even accurate. I mean, how can you enforce this idea of diversity when it's not even accurate? The other point is, you know, it's fundamentally anti-egalitarian. You have the BAFTAs, again, which is the British version of the Oscars. They announced recently that they would bar films that failed to be, quote, diverse from winning an award, meaning that, you know, there has to be a non-white character as either the protagonist or the antagonist in every single movie. So again, this is even at the expense of historical accuracy. How are you going to make a film set in a country in the past in which no black people lived, yet still include black actors in the number one and the number two roles? It's fundamentally anti-egalitarian. I would say it's misguided virtue signaling. Instead of awarding people the best roles, regardless of gender, regardless of race, which is the true non-racist stance, they're enforcing this diversity. I mean, do you just see it as misguided virtue signaling by the left, or is there something deeper? Is this about political power?
Like you, I ultimately want egalitarianism. I want people to be chosen for things based on their merit rather than their race. Unfortunately, I think that this identity politics is a genie that once out of the bottle is never going to go back. The only way you're going to have equal treatment is to have white people stand up for themselves in the same way that black people stand up for themselves or other groups stand up for themselves. And not in a hateful way. I think that smears the movement, but you have to have people to advocate. White people are going to be a minority in some of these countries, like in the United States, perhaps. We have to be able to play that game to some extent. As far as the hiring of actors, you see that in commercials a lot of times, too, where if you have 70% of the population is white, there'll be like one white guy and then, you know, a Muslim and a black person and so on and so forth. It's not representative of the population. And that's on purpose, because for about 30 or 40 years, you've had race-based solidarity groups like the NAACP. You've had race pimps like Al Sharpton suing these companies. So if Macy's puts out a commercial, you know, and their customer base is like 90% white, let's say, and so they put 90% white people in their commercial, well, the black groups will get upset and they will sue these people, and they just it's like a pain reaction. If you react to a stimulus, they've created so much pain in these companies for not giving hiring preferences based on race that they just do it automatically.
And it's created complete derangement. As you said, people are completely reactionary. They hook on to the latest little bit of outrage. And to be fair, I would say on Twitter, on some social media platforms, it's lessened in intensity over the past couple of years. Now that we've drawn attention to it, now that people are starting to understand how this outrage culture works, you know, what virtue signaling is, social justice warriors, just that term has become a massive pejorative over the past couple of years. So we are kind of fighting this back a little bit. You wrote in the tweet exchange we had, though, that the Trump movement needs to realize that they're missing a golden opportunity to finish off some leftists while they're still in a state of panic. We have this Trump derangement syndrome. We have leftists across the board faking hate crimes. Almost every day I see a new story about how they hoaxed a hate crime to try and frame Trump supporters. They did it themselves. Expand on your comment. How do we exploit this opportunity with leftists in this state of panic right now?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, a lot of people who follow the major accounts on Twitter can see that there's been a lot of feuding lately amongst the Trump coalition, particularly what I guess you could refer to as the meme coalition. And I think that it's really misguided. I think that trying to fracture Trump's coalition right before he takes office is just going to make it harder for us to do things like immigration enforcement, building the wall, and so forth. And there are actually real enemies still out there. You know, there are still the Sean Kings of the world. There are still the Black Lives Matter. This George Ciccariello guy is just getting away with advocating for white genocide because people are not working in a way that's that winners work. I start to think some of these people may be afraid of winning. Like they don't they get the taste of it and they don't quite have the killer instinct. You got to go back after the leftists. Don't start attacking people on the right.
I think it's some of it is just the disbelief that they actually won, that Trump got into office. Now they think that, you know, it's somehow too good to be true. It's like, you know, on the conspiracy theorist side, they think, oh, well, Trump must be controlled by someone right now. He must be part of the elite that they let him become president. Well, no, we won. We have to accept that we won. That brings us new responsibilities. Well, there has been a lot of infighting that went with it immediately after Trump won the election. We had this Richard Spencer thing. You mentioned it earlier without getting too far down into the weeds. That's what the media loves, right? They love to create these divisions. They love to exploit them because before that, it was quite a unified force, to say the least. I think they glom onto these personalities like Richard Spencer, who are in it for the ego. They don't care about damaging the movement. They don't care about making other people look stupid, guilt by association. The media loves it. They invite the mainstream media in. I mean, I don't even give mainstream media interviews. I will go on shows. I will go on Stefan Molyneux's show. If the BBC wants me on, I just say no, because I know their game by now, and I don't need their audience. I've got my own platform. But you have certain personalities that just want all the attention. They want the ego boost. They don't care about, you know, literally getting up in front of people and saying, Heil Trump, while his slobbering, demented fans give Sieg Heils. And then they don't even care about how that looks in the media. Listen, even if you believe, which I don't, and there's a vocal minority out there, that Jews control the world, these Holocaust deniers or whatever, even if you believe all that, fine, whatever. I think you're completely wrong and it's damaging, but you at least you must accept that getting up in front of the Atlantic, in front of news cameras, and aggressively Sieg Heiling at these events doesn't look very good, right? It's not great optics in doing that. I mean, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, the speech itself, I didn't think that there was anything wrong with the speech. It was a pretty boilerplate speech. But doing the Sieg Heils, I mean, that was really dumb. The people in the audience shouldn't have done that because you're just going to be stoking fear and you're going to be putting stigma on some of the good ideas that he has. And personally, if I were him, I would have said that the Sieg Heils were dumb. I mean, I think they were doing them just in a sense of humor, but it's not a sense of humor that trans.
I mean, I thought it was ridiculous. Obviously, it led to Trump having to, in front of the media, disavow the alt-right entirely, when, in fact, the alt-right now has several different divisions. If you look at a website like, you know, the Reddit, the Donald Reddit, and you compare that to something like 4chan, completely different audience. And that distinction has not been made in the mainstream media. They've taken this, they exploited it, they created it in a way, then they used it to make Trump disavow the alt-right. And I just think it was a massive defeat for us. And that can be blamed on certain people. But we've come to the end of the show. Jason, just tell people where people can sign your petition and how they can find you on Twitter.
Well, the petition, the legal petition, is only for Charlottesville residents. You can email me at themaddimension@gmail.com if you want to do that. But I have a lot more things going on in the coming year. We're going to work on turning Virginia red for Trump, and we're going to make sure that people like George Ciccariello and Wes Bellamy are held accountable. Go to my website, jasonkessler.net. On Twitter and Gab, I'm at the Mad Dimension.
Okay, Jason Kessler, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Good to have you. Okay, there goes Jason Kessler again. Go and read about the situation there in Charlottesville. This didn't get much national attention, got a lot of local attention. And again, it's a really good insight into how the left rallies round actual supremacists, race supremacists, racist, misogynist, while, of course, pointing the finger at everyone else and saying that we're the racist, misogynist. And the sheer butthurt that they get over Trump. And I think it was the White House press secretary-elect who came out and made this point the other day. He will continue tweeting, and the mainstream media is absolutely apoplectic. They've got Trump derangement syndrome merely over the fact that Donald Trump uses a Twitter account. Never has that direct form of communication been available to a president who's been willing to use it. Donald Trump will be that president, and the mainstream media is scared to death because his message can't be filtered through their spin. Just as CNN said that people shouldn't read WikiLeaks revelations without first seeing what CNN had to say about it. Well, no, you're the fake news. You've put out dangerous fake news again and again. The Washington Post has just done it, and now you're being exposed, and you're not happy about it. We'll be back with the Alex Jones Show live breaking news at Infowars.com.
Hello again. My name is Gary Clark. I'm the actor who's turning 80 in August who played the part of Steve on the 1960s Western TV series, The Virginian. Now, those of you who suffered the side effects of prescribed medicines know what I'm talking about. And those of you who have watched the devastating effects that worrying about you has had on your loved ones. And what I shared a few months ago is only part of the story. I neglected to mention how One World Whey protein powder has affected my life. Now, I realize this is not dinner table conversation, but here goes anyway. One World Whey solved my irregularity. I'd been plagued with constipation for years, and I thought it would be that way for the rest of my life. 3 weeks on One World Whey set me on a new path. That was 5 months ago, and I haven't been irregular since. Will it work the same way for you? I don't know. It worked for me.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family. By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, down, down.
Live on the Alex Jones Show, we've got Paul and Hill coming up in the next hour. He is a Fox News CNN contributor to talk about fake news, to talk about the latest with Trump, the latest Trump derangement hysteria with the mainstream media. On the subject of fake news, though, here's a story out of the local headlined, Italy's populist leader, public should decide whether news is fake. And for that one statement, he has been absolutely slammed. Italy's media and traditional political parties were up in arms Wednesday after the head of the populist five-star movement, this is one of the guys who helped to defeat that reform bill that Italians voted on that was a rejection of the EU, accused the country's journalists of manufacturing false news. So he's daring to say that the mainstream media is the main progenitor of false news. This is comedian Beppe Grillo, founder of the anti-Euro movement, who lashed out at print and TV journalists accusing them of fabricating news to keep the five stars down. He said, quote, newspapers and television news programs are the biggest manufacturers of false news in the country, with the aim of ensuring those who have power keep it. He called for a popular jury to determine the veracity of the news published, and said in the cases of fake news, the editor must head bow, make a public apology, and publish the correct version at the start of the program or on the paper's front page. So all he did was accuse the mainstream media of being the main progenitor of fake news, and say that basically a popular jury of the people, not of extreme leftists hired by Facebook, like Snopes.com, that a jury of the people should be responsible for determining what is fake news and what isn't. And for this, he was called a fascist. This was the response. Again, the article continues, the media world was enraged. The news director of private TGLA7 channel, Enrico Mentana, said he would sue the comedian. So he writes a blog post accusing the mainstream media of lying. The response is that he's a fascist, and now this TV channel owner, is going to sue him. He said that Beppe Grillo was encouraging the lynching of all journalists. Really. The opposition Five Stars was running neck and neck with the ruling centre-left Democratic Party before Matteo Renzi's downfall last month, and is campaigning hard for the next general election, which could be held in the coming months. So again, this is a populist movement, a threat to the establishment. The leader of it in Italy comes out and says, the mainstream media is responsible for fake news. How dare they try and censor us? We should have a people's jury to determine what is real and what is fake news. Well, according to Stefano Apposito, another politician there in Italy, he said what Grillo is proposing is fascism, and those who play it down are accomplices. The centre-right Forza Italia party, founded by ex-Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, said Grillo wanted a mini-culpop 2.0, a reference to the propaganda and censorship ministry under dictator Benito Mussolini. So that's not an overreaction at all, is it? He says that the mainstream media lies sometimes and puts out fake news, that people should decide, not governments and corporations, what represents fake news. For that, he's trying to bring back something that a dictator had in Mussolini. He's a fascist, and that he's encouraging the lynching of all journalists. Again, doesn't that really prove his point that he made initially, that the mainstream media is the main progenitor of fake news, giving that absolutely hysterical overreaction to Italy's populist leader, saying that the public should decide whether, quote, fake news is fake or not. Now we have the EU telling Facebook they will fine them thousands of dollars a day if they don't remove, quote, fake news within 24 hours. Who's in control of determining what's fake news? The far-left bias website, Snopes.com. absolutely incredible. We'll be back with the third hour of the Alex Jones Show breaking news at Infowars.com. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.